Board time is reconvened after executive session.
Not at all. All right. Advisory vote, yeah. Pro and con committee appointments. Lori, tell us what we need to be doing, and then we'll kind of talk through where we're at and what we need to do and how much longer we have to do it.
Great. So by 5 p.m. tomorrow, the pro and con committees need to have been appointed by you and turned into the elections division.
You mean the names or the statement?
The names.
Oh.
The names.
Okay, just names.
You can appoint up to three per committee.
Up to three, so it does not have to be three.
Like correct.
That. That's good.
And among those three, the three choose a chairperson. And the chairperson and the committee members are reported to the auditor with their name, address, and telephone number, including the chair designation. Those three committee members may enlarge the committee. They will be chosen to assist. They won't be official committee members, but they can use as much help as they want in creating a statement.
But the only three names that will be associated with the pro or con statement in the voter's pamphlet will be the three that are chosen,
exactly.
Or the up to three.
Exactly. The three official appointees are the ones whose names will be in the pamphlet.
Got it.
So I've prepared, these are the guidelines you can give your committees. This is my summary of the deadlines, the word limits, all of that, okay. Along with section 4 of the auditor's official pamphlet specifications. Section 4 is the section about how to do pro and con statements, so they can be the instructions you can use. And if you like the way this document is worded, I can send it to Rebecca or Lene or whoever you'd like to create copies for your committees. My recommendation is that we go through right now and make a decision about which commissioners will be in charge of which committees, and then you all can delegate to those commissioners to do that here in public session, and then you all can come up with a list and submit them by 5 p.m. tomorrow.
That's fair.
So we need, you want to just do that right now?
Let's do it.
All right, Light Rail Pro.
Why don't we do it this way? Why don't we, each of us, select those that we've authored for the four.
Right.
And submit those names by, you said, 5 p.m. tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And then allow Greg Kimsey to pick those that are opposed to the two.
Well, that happens those. Automatically if you don't
that would
pick
be the
them.
Default. Right.
But isn't it kind of a conflict of interest for us to pick the opposing team of our own?
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
But we could pick the opposing for the one for the others. You know, like the other two, like so for the I-5 bridge replacement one. Because I totally agree with you, but on the opposite side of it, then if you guys have three that you think would be good for the opposite side of it, of that argument, that makes sense to me. You know, and whichever one of you wants to take that on. Same thing with the East County Bridge, then Tom and I, you know, between the two of us, if we have three people or if one of us wants to take the lead on it, then we can take care of that. I mean, because all we're doing is we're looking for people who would represent the opposing view of it, and that we are known to be representing the opposing view. Kind of that's what we're looking. And if we can't come up with it, then the default would be to go to Kimsey.
In other words, you would like be able to pick the opposing teams of the.
I'm not saying I would like to. I'm saying that it would make some sense.
Example, I'm going to be in charge of my pro west side.
Mm-hmm.
And con I-5.
Yeah, see, there you go. And then, and that makes sense to me that then, okay, Tom, you know, if Commissioner Mielke doesn't come up with three names for the con on the I-5, cool, then, you know, Kimsey will either fill it out or they'll go with however many they have.
So I
trust you guys.
I had a question, the light rail question. Someone thought that was a reversed question. Do we have those? I don't recall that. What was the question?
Well, it's approving. So the
it's approving a yeah. Go ahead.
No,
it's approving a. It's either adopting a resolution that opposes,
right.
Or doing nothing.
Right. So saying yes is approving a resolution. That's what you're doing, and so you're approving a resolution to oppose unless a voter say yes.
Okay.
So there's, I mean, it's not as clear as saying you're saying yes to a no or no to a yes, because I saw that email as well. And so ultimately, there are no's and yes's within each. It's clear, though. You're saying, do we approve this resolution? And then it links to the resolution.
Do I have that right? Was there a way to actually word that in a so that no means no? I thought because it was outside the direct jurisdiction of the commissioners that we could either adopt or not adopt a resolution.
Well, the resolution, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, I think you would have had to reverse your resolution. The resolution would have been, should we support all light rail? You would have been drafting a resolution to support light rail, and then if you wanted to and say then, no, then it would no meant no.
And then if we didn't, then it says, well,
weird.
We don't have a policy.
Exactly.
That's why we ended up with a policy to oppose or no policy at all.
We're on track for the drafter.
But if you can let Lori answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, we did switch the language around several times, but because of the way the policy resolution was written, the resolution to put it on the ballot and the ballot language were worded to adopt a policy.
Yeah.
And was there another choice? I mean, for something that's not directly in our jurisdiction, or does that make any difference?
Well, it doesn't make any difference because the resolution is adopted and filed with elections.
Exactly.
So,
spilt mail.
She wants to know.
So, on the light rail one, would you be taking the lead on getting the committee for pro?
Well, I think all of us take the lead on the pro of those that we thought offered.
So, on the light rail, then yes, that's a yes. All right.
That's a yes.
Excellent. All right. And on the con side of that one, why don't?
Oh, there we go.
If you want me to take on the lead on getting the committee on that, I'm happy to, unless you want to, Commissioner Mielke.
I don't want to.
All right, I will go ahead and I will see if I can find some.
But you don't have to.
But I don't have to. Well, and this is for all of us. I mean, on the con side of it, if we can't come up with names, or that's not one we're going to. Then Kimsey will figure it out.
Well, remember that a press release went out from our county website, and for asking for Linnea has a list of people.
Yeah. So we've got some names to start with, and I have some names to start with.
I had a list. I'm looking for that list. Maybe I didn't bring.
Don't worry about it. We don't need to. Each one of us will take care of the ones that we need to take care of.
Well, I got that part. I was looking for other candidates for those that take opposing views.
Did you finish that list?
I don't see it here.
The one that Linnea sent out, or what? Is there another one?
No, I had a...
what are you looking for?
Just a short list.
Just tell me which ones you want to do.
Yeah, and then whoever's in charge will take. And if there are names, how about this? So if there are names that you have or that I've gotten through my email of, hey, I'd like to participate on this, this, or this, that we all put those into a pool with Linnea so that she has all of those names that she can share with us so that we can help ourselves to assign them to the ones that we're not, you know, the ones that we're covering, the ones that we're in charge of, whether it be the ones we drafted or the opposition, you know, to the ones that we didn't.
In other words, we'll all be equipped with the list that from every source, and then we as individual commissioners can choose for those that are going to be on our teams. Okay, so that's given. We got that. So we want to make sure we have a rich pool to draw from.
Right.
And now the choosing the opposition is really
question
here.
I just want to know which ones are you going to be in charge of.
That's all we're doing first. Yeah. Just figure out who we're in charge of first, opposition or because we agree with. I think we're all on the same page. Whichever one you drafted, that one you do.
Yes,
I work in that direction.
Thank you.
So the I-5 and the fireworks pro are my name. Yep. This item.
Got it. I have the obvious ones, and I did insert. Commissioner Mielke, you said you wanted to do the con on
I-5.
I-5. Yeah. All right. So
he's in charge. So if you have names, though, that would help with that, or you know, if I get names that would help with that
for
the con for I-5, we'd make sure that Commissioner Mielke has all the you know information that he needs.
Yeah, there's people that have volunteered.
There you go.
For the con for the I-5.
And he's,
unless you want
to get him to Tom. Unless you
want to do con I-5.
Sure.
Okay, give him con
I-5.
Got
it.
I see how you are.
We've got BRT.
He's pretty smart.
We've got BRT con. Let's open.
You're looking at me again. All right, I'll take it on. I'm not committing. I'll get the names as I can get them, and I have a couple of, actually, I think on the BRT one, I it's easier. I have a list of names for that one better than I have for the CON on the light rail.
I've got a couple of people that are asking to be on that as
well. On the CON for the BRT? Mm-hmm. Perfect. So if I could get those from you, that would be sweet.
East County Bridge, CON.
No.
What's that?
Pro.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, David, you might want
to... Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah, we're only talking about cons here, because we already got the pros.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
East County Bridge, CON.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. I don't have anything for CON for BRT or light rail or the East County.
Okay.
So, the only two of that's... So, the I-5...
You're taking on the CON on that.
I'm taking on that one.
So you're gonna have to take on one of the bridge ones, man. We should but have to take on one of the bridge ones.
Well, I was going to do CON East County.
Okay.
You have CON I-5.
And then that means I'll take on the getting the committee for the CON for the west side.
Why don't we flip? Why don't we flip? So
No, because you can't do the CON for east side, man.
You can't do the CON for east side.
Oh, well, no.
Do you want to do the CON for west side? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying. I don't want to pick the opposition from,
no.
That would be such a conflict.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm asking.
So what are you asking?
I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to get the people.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to do it.
No. I'm going to pick people from the list of names that comes up with.
We're just, whoever's in charge of getting that list finalized.
Fireworks CON is the only open one I have left. Anyone?
I can't
do it.
You got that one?
I'll find someone to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have a couple of, and we'll get names together for that one as well.
Blackjack fireworks employees.
Yeah.
Well, and I have
my name will not be on it.
There'll be three other people. And we have a couple of names of people that have already testified against kind of those limits. So we'll get those names.
So what do we have so far here as our draft for the cons?
Okay. So you have for the cons, you have light rail Stewart, BRT Stewart, East County Bridge Milky, I-5 Medore, West County Stewart, Fireworks Milky.
Sorry.
Sure.
I got you all answer. So light rail and BRT both are
mine.
Stewart. East County is Tom.
Yes.
I-5 is me.
Yes.
And then
West County is mine.
You got three.
I know. I've got three, and then you've got two, and he's got one.
Well,
two? Do you have one?
I have two.
I don't need three. How the heck?
Yeah, that's not...
Hold on.
Yeah, but Commissioner Medora has three pros, so, I mean, you're splitting these
out. You
want
to do the West County one, too?
Yeah.
Okay. West County.
West versus East. Look at you guys.
You're going to pro for me?
No, he's against both of us on that one, man. So.
I'm a friendly competitor.
Got it.
All right, so you're getting three. You're getting the list for the West County and for the I-5. You're getting the East County
and fireworks.
And I'm getting the LRT BRT.
And my understanding is that you are in agreement in terms of board action to delegate your board members for these areas that we have just designated.
We each have individual authority over what we are in charge of to make the list.
Great.
Are we good?
Yes.
We don't get together again, so we have to do this now. We have to say, all right, you individually have authority to create the list of three for your things that you're pro on, and the ones, the other two bridge ones for the con list. Mm-hmm. None of us, and can we agree, we're not going to be on the list? I don't even know if legally we could.
You may.
So I would like us to agree as a board that we will not be choosing ourselves.
I will not be on fireworks.
Putting yourself on the committee, are you?
I will not be on Pro West.
Definitely, I want to be on the East County one because I think it's very important that provide leadership.
That's your pro.
Yeah, so okay. I pick my. Yeah, in other words, you pick yourself.
Wait, so can you pick yourself?
The ones that have your own.
The pro ones, not
of
on the con ones.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'm not going to be on anyway.
And that's fair. You can choose that. I'm just saying, so we're all agreeing, though, that we're not choosing ourselves for the cons, for any of the cons.
That's right.
Yeah? Okay. But on the pros, you can choose yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
not that we have to,
flag,
but
right?
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Okay, up to three. Any other questions on what you can and can't do for committees?
We've got right here.
They're all individuals.
If you could send this electronically, but you just hand it to us, that'd be great too. Because then we can share it.
Okay, and we have till 5 p.m. tomorrow, and at the very latest. And what information do you need for each of these people?
Their names, address, and phone number to contact them.
Name, address.
You want email address?
And then also, who will be the chair of that group?
Wait a second. So name, address, phone number, and then do you need email?
The email would be great. Any kind of contact you can provide.
Email.
And then who would be the chair of that?
So we need to talk to the committee members and say, all right, here are the names. Who do you want to be chair? Okay.
And just to remind you, if you jump on each other's pro, you can't jump on each other's pro. Otherwise, you're a majority of the board. So be careful about that.
Oh, good call.
Don't jump on his. You don't jump on his.
Okay, so pro. Only... So
you can't have two board members on a committee.
Tom's already said he ain't going to be on any of them, so...
You couldn't have two board members on a committee because then it would require public notice for everything you do.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything. Got to say it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not picking a fight. That's because I'm going to an advisory vote.
Anything else? Kathy, they can submit it.
About the citizens, not about us. I agree.
Absolutely. Okay, so Kathy says you can submit it by email.
Okay.
To
you, Kathy? Mm-hmm. What's your email?
It's cathie.garber. My name is Kathy Garber, but it's
C-A-T-I-E. Was it C or K?
C.
And then an I-E.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy with I-E, Garber.
Dot Garber.
G-A-R-B-E-R?
Correct.
At clark.wadaga.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is Linnea is already creating the little summary sheets for you guys.
Okay. I noticed that our grid that we use to provide the related documents and that kind of thing for each of the meetings, that we still haven't put the resolutions on there yet. It's still blank. And I would think that, especially with this activity of pro and con, that we would update that as soon as possible. We'd get them on that site.
So the resolutions, I was told the resolutions were going to be online by the end of the day yesterday.
They're in the current issues section of the website.
Okay, so the idea is, can we get them into the grid too?
Yeah, that's a Linnea question.
Yeah.
Can you follow up on that, please?
They should be there today. I mean, like, this is timely stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
anybody's asking, where is it?
It is. I mean, and I've told people go to clark.wadaga.gov and they'll be right there. But but it's always nice to have them, you know, if you say they're at the grid. Mm-hmm. It's easy. All right. So we've got our work to do. What else do you need from us?
I just want you to be aware of the deadlines listed on the bottom of this sheet that I created.
Okay.
So to the extent you are involved with these committees, August 15th is your deadline for the statement for or against, and those, again, are delivered directly to the auditor.
And that's 250 words?
Yes.
Okay.
And that is in this attachment, by the way, all of the details about the number of words and how to write it and all of that. August 19th is the date by which the auditor must review and notify you whether there's any problems with it. And then if they reject it, you have till August 21 to make any corrections.
Okay.
August 21 is also the deadline for rebuttal statements. That's 75 words. And, of course, you wouldn't have to write those rebuttal statements until after you see the other side's statements, and they're available the following day, right? Right, August 9th.
Same day or the next day. So we'll be able to see...
August 9th.
They're the...
I should have
written August 9th. They would be available the day after the statements are due from the pro and con committee.
And when are they going to...
Right.
August 20th?
16.
So August
16th. Does that mean they're going to be posted on the Clark
you have to
votes
you have to
or Clark votes.
You can come and ask for them. I can also email them to you.
Okay. So
they're behind the scenes available. They're not going to be posted online.
They're rarely posted online, but they're for anybody.
They're public.
Yes, they are public.
When is the date that the voters' pamphlet will be posted online?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, that'll be after we produced it. It's really up to the state. Because it's going inside the state voters'
pamphlet. Sometime after the 21st.
It'll be toward the end of September when the voters' pamphlet will be available.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
One thing I wanted to mention, and Lori and I had talked about, both of the resolutions will be in the voters' pamphlet for each advisor measure.
Oh, both resolutions?
Yes, they will, because the first one is not signed. It does not order us to put it in the voters' pamphlet. And that is a piece that also must be in there. So rather than leaving a piece out, we're taking both of them.
All right.
Really? Okay. Well, that's all right. It's just extra cost. I just thought that the only thing that needed to be in there was the actual resolution they're voting on.
That we're referring
on.
To.
Why would we put the one that
well,
says to put
it
in?
Well, I was told it was the first one that we were supposed to put in, and that one wasn't right. signed saying that we were referring it and ordering the auditor to place yeah. it on the ballot.
Well, it wasn't signed.
Well, it's not signed because we didn't approve it.
Right,
we were asking
right,
the voters to, if we should approve it. So it's still an official document that we're referring to the voters. I just don't want to confuse them to say, well, that looks like it's asking me to put it on the ballot versus this. Which one am I voting on? Because we could. What we don't do is confuse them to put two each because there was difficulty or confusion even in us trying to keep them straight.
I only had one.
Right. It'd be better if we just put the one they're voting on, I would think. Do we have the freedom just to put the one they're voting on?
I don't know.
Well, my concern is that the resolution has to have the actual ballot language in it. That's part of what we normally put in the voter's pamphlet, mm-hmm. and that first one does not have the ballot language in it.
Well, let's find out if it's legally kosher for us to put the appropriate one that they're voting on in the voter's pamphlet and only put the other one that puts it on the voter pamphlet in there if somehow there's some legal requirement. Because I think it does introduce confusion.
It could. It's worth asking. Okay. So you're going to ask on that. Any other questions from the board on this? All right. We got our work to do. If there's anything else that you both need from us, just let us know.
Great.
And the only other thing for the board on that then is any names that you get either through email or like I put it on my Facebook page and
if we get...
Whatever. So I do an official Facebook. I don't do a personal or a political.
I just do the unofficial.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So any names that we get, let's give them to Linnea. And so that we all, so if you get any names, though, that might be helpful to either of us on it, just give them to Linnea and then we'll get, that way we have them. And we're not breaking any rules.
And how are we going to get, so Linnea is the master.
That's what I'm saying.
She's the one to mine to get all the names to draw from. Okay.
She's so creating the spreadsheet.
And we'll not let Linnea know that we need a readily updated, like constantly updated list.
Cool. Great. Thank you. She has a list started, so.
Yes. Perfect. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. Next, interim county administrator proposal. Follow-up from 717-13. Mr. Barron, what do you got?
What do you got? Oh, this is stuff from that guy. The board asks.
They really fly well. I'll get it, Bill.
They do fly well. That's good. The board asked on the 17th that we go out for proposals for any recruiting firms that do recruitment to see what the cost would be to do that. We only got one proposal by last week, so I had HR go out to all the rest of the ones you see at the bottom of the page. None of those none of those folks decided to bid. You see the comparison, the cost. The only question he asked was, how long do you think the interim would be? Mr. Prothman asked, was how long do you think the interim would be? And how much did I make with my benefits? And they based their costs on that. The two unusual costs that you see there are the housing allowance per month plus the 3% B&O tax that he has to pay for the city of Issaquah that he's located in, which I thought was kind of bizarre myself, that he didn't build it into his rate.
If he earns the money here, he still has to pay it up there?
Yes.
I guess like an organ tax.
Yeah. And why he wouldn't build it into his rate, I don't know. It's kind of silly.
Just tell him to make it to Clark County. We have a new ordinance.
Only cities are able to do that, interestingly.
Really?
Yeah. So the cost per month to have him bring an interim for your review would be $20,660 a month plus travel and expenses.
That's a month?
Yeah.
Plus
the fact that if you hired that interim, then you would owe him the other $2 amount.
So are we not
saying that,
in other words, this would not pay the interim director? You go through these people, and it's kind of like working through a temporary agency or something.
But yeah, you give it to Prothman, you pay him that.
That would pay for everything.
Yeah. So if you turn it over, I had HR in their wisdom said, okay, what would it cost us if we appointed, and I use Pete Capel's salary here because he would be my recommendation if you chose to have one of our current department heads be the interim for at least a year while the charter government thing took place. And if you backfilled, at least bumped up two of his division managers. The reason I would pick Pete is, A, he has the skills. B, his division managers are mature in their jobs and would be he'd be able to do it. So there you see the cost per month difference, $20,000 versus $1,500. So you want to see the numbers. I have a spreadsheet that shows you what the actual costs are.
So without getting into individual personnel with regards to recommendations or deliberation associated with individual personnel, which we would do in executive session, this is the general.
I'm thinking about digesting and bringing an executive session next week.
Perfect. I like that. So we just got this. Let's digest it for a week and set an executive session to talk about personnel issues next week.
Very good, sir.
Does that work? All right. On the round. Good.
Well, digest you.
I'll be happy to consult with you as well.
Of course. What you thinking, Tom?
No, just think out loud.
So over the next week, we'll have our one-on-ones with Bill to be able to kind of go through this as well.
What's next?
All right.
A lot of information.
Pete Capel, Bill.
Park Center Local and Park Attendant Briefing with Pete, Brian, and Bill.
Commissioner Madore wanted... Pete, come on up. Commissioner Madore wanted to brief on the Park Attendant Program. What's
Can you
going
call
on?
Marty and Paul and get them up here, too, so we don't have to wait for people to come up? Because they're the next ones.
I can do number 1.6 if you like while we're waiting.
Perfect.
Yeah. Since Mr. Commissioner Milky finally gets his report. Marty, would you come up and wait and bring Scarpelli with you? Okay, well, we'll have to talk about dog pound then. Bye. Bye. This is a study Commissioner Milky wanted done to talk about the detail of the memberships and dues and county support. And I'll... The numbers refer to the sheet with the yellow line on it that you're attaching. Let me explain it first. The yellow line on it. So the numbers that you'll see there. So if we can just... The three attachments you have only refer to the WAC and the RCW, the mandatory. So if you wanted to see the actual text of the RCW that I referenced and the actual text of the WAC that I referenced, it's there for you to read.
Okay.
So you wouldn't, I anticipated your question. So if you want to take this and read through it, please do so, and I'm happy to meet with you one-on-one with that as well.
Perfect. So into the file for next week.
Absorbing
some stuff. We've been all about advisory votes this week. So
I don't know if you want to do 2.1.
Well, I hear someone coming.
Okay.
Oh, the gentlemen are here. Come on in. Come on in. Can we get? We need another couple chairs. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
And we've got one, two, three. We're fine. We've got enough. All right. Yeah, come on up, guys. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. So Parks Interlocal Agreement and Park Attendant Briefing, and you're on.
All right. Last week, you received a copy of the scope of services and
like
budgeted
this.
Budget.
Commissioner Milky had asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And does anyone need copies?
No, sir.
Okay. And also included with that was a summary of cost with the same tasks that we have been providing over the last two biennium, and essentially showing that in 2009 we were at $1.1 million, we were at $1 million in 2010, $877 in 2011, and just over $800 last year. And what this this proposal for what the scope of services outlines in more detail all of the services that they provide and the work that they are doing with fewer resources but still trying to deliver the same program at a 2014 budgeted cost of $642,000. And so that was, I think, what was asked of us, to provide some additional information, and we can answer any questions or give you any. But we are looking for direction, because originally the city manager had hoped that we would have an answer to him by the first of this week, for two reasons. One is that the interim parks director will be gone October 31st, so they need to be recruiting for a permanent parks director, and they really need to better understand what the scope of that job is going to be, whether it's a continued partnership with the county or not. And then secondly, both agencies, if we decide to do something differently, need to start preparing for that when the time comes. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Questions?
Just coming.
Absorbing.
Just absorbing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. The difference between the county parks and the city parks, I think, are substantial enough where it would make sense for us to be able to allow each to focus on their own. If I look at the total cost of this, add this up here, we're at $642,000, and that doesn't include maintenance. I would think that we ought to be able to form our own team to lead our own parks and let Vancouver focus on those things that are uniquely Vancouver. So I think it would be to our advantage in two ways for the county to take the lead stewarding our own parks. Break it into two categories. One is what's listed here, and the other is an improved way for us to be able to cover the reservations when it comes to the scheduling of the park or the sports fields. Right now, that scheduling process, it's a lot involved, in that it's complicated. There's nothing online that shows who's reserving what, right? That's not shown online at all.
Reservations are. Sports scheduling.
Yeah, so the sports scheduling, so the website doesn't even show who's the online schedule at all right now, right?
Right now, that's correct.
Yeah. And I think that's an important tool for the county to know, or for the whole county, I mean the community, to know who's what that schedule looks like for each of the parks, who's going to be there, so they see the openings. It would assist them and to take the advantage and move it into the 21st century when it comes to a smarter web-based system. If you look at the airlines, that ticketing process allows you to choose your seat, and it shows you what seats are available. If you want to book your tickets for a concert or a play, something, you can see all that process. It's been out there for a long time. We haven't done that, and I believe that we can do that. We ought to do that, and the team that we put together that would steward the county parks, that would be an important part that we would that would show our success. It would be a substantial improvement to helping people utilize our park, do online reservations, and that would include also for the pavilions. I know there's some, you need to be able to back up and follow that up with a real person on a phone in case you want to make some exceptions or changes or get your questions answered. But most of this in many jurisdictions is covered online and very effectively, efficiently. camping, you look at how Oregon does their reservations and all, we ought to be able to implement that. So I would love for us, and I'll be, I think for us to be able to steward our own parks in that area would be a substantial improvement for our community.
How much extra would it cost for us to actually do that, and to do instead of contracting to just do it ourselves? What was the estimate you gave us?
The original estimate that I had put together, and it didn't necessarily contemplate the details that Commissioner Madore is talking about with the reservation
program. That might be
we would just we would have to do something, and we would have to purchase some software and get it installed and that sort of thing. But I had originally estimated the cost to provide an equivalent level of service at $860,000. Because we do benefit from shared resources. Brian's an asset, but he doesn't spill all of his time to Clark County, only the time when he's working on Clark County stuff, as an example.
So $220,000 a year increase in costs if we were to not purchase services from Vancouver, Clark, Parks and Recreation.
That was my estimate.
That would certainly be going backwards if we took that approach. We have to come up with a better approach. So I would let's take another stab at that, a whole new look at that, in order to actually save money and do the job smarter and better.
I was told that you did that already, Pete, that you kind of went through and figured out and kind of hashed it out. Have you had a chance to do that?
We had several.
To figure out equivalent service.
We did. We had several different scenarios, and actually, one of the scenarios was a hybrid, where we had hired two people to do a lot of the key services, but still relied on Vancouver Clark Parks for some services that in not duplicating that, and that's still an option. This particular proposal was another generation, because I think the Vancouver Clark Parks had sat down and looked at, you know, reductions that they could make and how they could streamline it, and their last proposal was this one that's in front of you that was $642,000, which with my original estimate was just about the same as what our hybrid model was.
And I think we still have an opportunity to do that differently. We have an opportunity to do that smarter.
So let me go for a little while.
Right, go ahead.
So we have an opportunity to save our citizens $160,000 per year from what the citizens through our old contract were paying this last year, and actually significantly less than that if you look earlier years, because it's been going down over time. But so from the 800,000 in 2012, we would save our citizens 160,000 with the proposal, which is excellent. We have going on our own would be an increase from current budget. It would be $60,000 more. From the proposal, it would be $220,000 more for equivalent service. So just from a cost basis alone, there are savings in not duplicating service. There is the power of purchase, and there is savings in actually being able to utilize services already being generated. There's savings in partnerships. Partnerships are good for communities where they can save money. This is an example of where they can, if done differently. And none of us, we all agreed, I think, early on that, look, the status quo isn't working. The status quo must change. But sharing services makes sense from a cost standpoint. The second thing I'd say is, you said that city parks are different than county parks. That's not true. And the reason I say that is because if you're in the Vancouver urban growth area, I'm in the city of Vancouver, but haven't been doing this for a while. The neighborhood parks that are in our urban areas are very similar. In what they do, how they function, who they serve. Very similar, whether it's in the city of Vancouver or otherwise. The regional parks. There are regional parks in the city of Vancouver. Two of them in the city I live in, with Frenchman's Bar, with Vancouver Lake regional parks. So there are regional parks within the city of Vancouver as well, just like we have regional parks elsewhere. Ball fields. As someone who actually coached kids' sports teams for, I guess it was 10 years, I coached kids' sports teams for my older son. And having grown up here and played sports here, love the idea of what you're talking about for a scheduling system that is more like online, you know, getting an airplane seat. I think it's a great analogy to use. You can do that. We could do that and should do that, no matter what we do with the contract. But what I would say is that when I was coaching, I was looking for fields through school district parks, recreation, city, and otherwise. We were looking for places to play, and there was no clear understanding of boundaries between Hazel Dell and City of Vancouver, Orchards and City of Vancouver. There was no clear delineation between those. So the coordination of efforts, especially in the Vancouver urban growth area, was huge in being able to actually make it easier for the people we serve to get the service they needed, which is to get them and the kids that they're helping out a place to play. So there is value in the coordination of service that has existed and that could exist. I think we could change it, but I think, first of all, we would be going backwards financially if we were to try to go off on our own, and we would be going backward in service for our citizens if we just tried to split off and do it ourselves with no real understanding of what that meant to our citizens or to the finances of it. So I like what they've come up with. I think that it is a good savings and a good service model, and would love to see us just move forward, take the savings, take the service, move, and you know, keep going. So that's where I come from on this.
Yeah, just so that we know that what we're looking at there is not, certainly we need to serve parks better, not worse, and we need to cost less, not more. I think it's still possible. What I propose, until October, the end of October, we need to be able to come up with a good, solid, tangible plan by then that shows we can do those two things, or at that point we revamp or revert to going back to some kind of hybrid.
And my sense is they've done that. They've done that. They've shown that it costs more if we do it on our own. They've shown how to cost less by creating a new contract that creates a better contract for services instead of the kind of the old partnership that we've had. They've done that work. I'm confident in the work that they have done. You say, well, they should do the work. They did the work. I'm confident in the work they did. So for me, I don't need till October, because they already gave me all the information I need. So for me, I don't need that time to be able to find out something that they already told me.
And I might add that we don't have that much time in our agreements with how we move forward with the City of Vancouver, because they need to proceed right away with filling that that director position, and need to know what is this going to look like. And then if both organizations need to start planning for what we look like at January 1, if we are severing the agreement.
So I'm still thinking that we have an opportunity to, by October 31st, to come up with a better way. So I'm just asking for time.
There are other
options that we have not considered.
Okay, but I'm just saying that if we waited that long, our option with the City of Vancouver would be gone.
Okay.
Because they can't wait that long.
So Commissioner Mandor and I have had a chance to speak on this, but Commissioner Mielke has been kind of absorbed. I'd love to know what you're thinking, Commissioner.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
I guess I'm landing somewhere in the middle.
Got a good 1-1.
We're unanimous. 1-1-1. The only thing I see over the next year or two is the construction of three parks. We were talking about, we have money to go forward to build three parks. And I've been talking about design, bid, build And that's how come we got the three parks, because it was one park isn't enough money. So under the design bid build, I'm looking at a savings of the planners, the engineers, design, and it would be included in the development. So,
Commissioner, can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
If you look at the scope of services, and specifically in item 3 on the second page where it talks about parks design and development,
mm-hmm.
there's a very small number there because it is only for design of repair and replacement type facilities. We actually, if we're going to be bringing a proposal to forward to you on how we could possibly build the 10 parks that are remaining in the Greater Clark Parks District, and then you'll give us direction on to proceed or not.
Yeah,
the money to pay for the design and construction of those is not part of this. It comes out of REIT and park impact fees that pay for that. So this, that would be a separate thing. This is essentially just the operations side of running the park system, and then some of these repair and replacement, but not major capital. So what you're talking about, you know, we can explore and do, but that would be just part of the capital program, not necessarily part of what this
is. You've already given us a green light to do that. Remember, we're borrowing from the PIFs.
Yeah.
So we're just working out.
What I'm saying, the capital program still comes from what source?
It comes from a different source than this. This is what
Jeff.
It comes from park impact fees and REIT.
Right. So.
And this is all general fund.
Okay. Even though it's broken up, it still achieves the same thing. It's the construction and development of a park. It's part of the cost that we're talking about here.
No, it's not.
Vancouver.
This is not inclusive of that.
Oh, this is maintenance?
This is all of the operations, the
design of repair
design
and replacement.
Repair
projects.
And replacement, some of the planning, like where we're doing the comp plan update, all of those sorts of things.
It says development.
Yeah, but then just right then
only,
it says,
and then parks planning is another one.
Right.
I incorporate that.
But not for construction of new parks.
It's not for the new parks. This is just for current operating
parks.
And taking care
park
of the existing
system.
Park
planning is for operating.
The parks planning was for the comp plan.
Yes.
And development is for
repair and replacement.
Repair and replacement type projects.
Is all that we'd be paying for out of this stuff.
Right.
We could still go design build.
We still do a lot of maintenance from your department now.
We do all of the parks maintenance. But for example, and Brian helped me out, is last year or the year before, the septic system at Louisville went out.
Right.
So we had to design a replacement system, and we hired a contractor to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of stuff that we end up doing, because that's not capital, that's just repair and replacement of existing facilities.
I guess where I'm going is that over the next year and a half, we're trying to hurry up, go into something as if we are full-blown building, and we're not.
No, this would be the same. If you looked again at the
cost,
in 11 and 12, we weren't doing
I'm looking under the proposed plan of $642,000.
Right. Yes.
That's the building.
One way to look at it, though, is so if you look at the history, the interlocal history from 09 to 12, and look at those same line items. So like for parks design, in 09, we paid $93,000 for parks design. In 2012, it was $32,000. And what they're proposing would be
$35,000.
So it's about a third of what we were paying for when we were designing a bunch of parks. That's when we were designing more parks, was 09. That was kind of when we cut it off. So 2012, it's 32, 20 to 09,
right.
It was 93. So
right.
It's gone down as we stopped designing parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this 32,000, but that's about the same as what he wants to do for next year.
Yeah, that's included in the $800,000.
Another example, if you don't mind me saying, is complete playground restoration out at Louisville. That gets designed by our staff. Mm-hmm. We'll use our capital repair dollars that were budgeted to purchase the equipment and hire a contractor to install. We did something similar out of Lacamas, where we did a complete renovation of the shelter restroom out there. We're actually adding some new playground equipment out at Louisville this year on the island section. So that's some of the design work we're doing in-house, but the development of new parks is originated out of Public Works. And then if we get asked to help in any way, then we will.
So what you're telling me is for the next year, year and a half, we're doing primarily maintenance, but we're still talking about building three parks.
Ten.
No, we only have money to build three.
So far. But we have money for all ten.
Yeah, but even for those three.
Two years out.
Right, but not from this.
Yeah, so I'm talking about going into next year in more or less a pause mode of maintenance as we move forward. And so I don't see a whole lot of need for a lot of things that we have other than our general maintenance. And again, general maintenance comes from the county. When you talk about redesigning or replacing playground equipment, that's available for us to shop and buy and put in place. And your department can do that.
Actually, though, that is an area where we have individuals who have worked with playground equipment for most of their careers. They're certainly better suited than my road designers.
It's a comparison of cutting out the warehouse and buying it directly from the manufacturer. That's my comparison. So I as we go into this next year, I go in more in a pause mode, but I do recognize the complexity of the sports fields, and like you said, when you call up to make reservations, you got one-stop shop fix. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I don't see a whole lot going on in the next year and a half. And maybe if we go into this next year, we put the parks people on notice that we're going to have a major change, and they're adjusting for that. And we had to do that 6 months out, and we did that. And now we're down to the point that we're being pushed to make the decision, well, how much change? And today, how much change is... in my opinion, would be to go back and look where we really need the help that's ongoing. And I understand the sports fields are really complex, and we need to make sure that that's handled. And then on the short side of that would be a reservation for facilities. And so I'm looking for positively. I would think that we would need that help from parks. The rest of it, I'm not seeing a big crying need for it for this next year, and that would give us more time to come back with something more solid. No, we kind of talked about that before, saying, well, let's take a look and see what we need to contract back out from the parks group. But being pushed into it right now, I don't see us going out next year with a whole bunch, and I don't want to pay for a whole bunch when I only need my planning organization right now.
Okay.
So, as far as the level of service that you have identified and the needs, I mean, you've identified them, you itemized them as far as what you've seen is what we would get. And, yes. Yeah. And so it's all itemized out as to, like, okay, so for parks and trails, we get A, B, C, D, and E. For sport field, A through F. How did you determine that's what you need? This is what we get for that money. How did you figure out this is what you need?
I think that was through what has been demanded of us by citizens or what is mandated by us in the level of planning and those sorts of things. And so it is mostly it is providing the same services or very similar service to what we have historically provided. Citizens have become used to it, but it's scaling back with, you know, trying to spread it among fewer people, which enabled us to, you know, reduce significantly the cost over the last several biennium. But this is really, you know, essentially the type of services that we are currently providing to citizens in dealing with, you know, their reservations, their needs, their problems, dealing with, you know, the challenges we encountered last week with opening Klein Line and then closing Klein Line. And I mean, just there's just a wide variety of things that end up having to be taken care of to make the parks accessible to citizens.
On page 3 under J, negotiate and manage agricultural leases and interim use with residential leases at parks. What is that?
As you're aware, over the years, Parks has acquired quite a large number of parcels for meeting their future density requirements that have not been developed. And so we have been leasing them out, whether it's residential property that we've leased or it's agricultural property that we've leased.
Okay.
So it does two things. One is it has somebody there to take care of the property, and secondly, it brings some income back to us.
I thought that was conservation futures dollars.
No.
The ones where we bought farms out here. So,
on the park lands, Jeremy Knuth has been doing that and does a good job of it.
A lot of this program was at its peak, and we were bringing in about $160,000 into the GF each year off this program. A lot of those properties at the time were MPD properties. They were the urban parks that we were purchasing, and since, you know, the parks have been built, so the program's not exactly bringing in that kind of revenue. But the Dugan property behind Frito-Lay is a great example. There's a combination of city property, county property. What we'll do is we've got partnerships with Fish First, and we've got different environmental projects. We'll leave some of it alone, but there's other high ground where we can actually bring in about $10,000 worth of revenue on a berry lease.
I thought this property was under environmental services when we were trying to get a handle on who's in charge of the county-owned property.
It is. It's on the list. Yes, we work with environmental services. We'll manage their properties as well.
But they manage the leases on it.
So when I go through it, what I'm talking about, I'm seeing that it's parts of this, you know what I'm saying, and all of this.
So what other parts of it? Because what I'm sensing, just because we are, there needs to be more information about, like, this is what it took, this is what it takes to deliver the level of service that people have expected. There is a desire, and I think from all three of us, to innovate how we provide that service. The question is whether that model can be provided within this contract or not. So the question then would be to go back and say, well, instead of saying this is what it would take to provide the same services, how could we provide the same level of service recognizing the changed circumstances, and what would that look like in here? Are there additional savings? And if not, if that's not a model that would end up working within the contract framework with the City of Vancouver, then we really would have to look at, even for myself, we would have to look at, all right, well, then that's something that we'd have to figure out how, if we don't have that creative flexibility to be able to provide the same level of service in a different way, then we might have to look at a different framework. And I'm open to that experience of finding that out. I don't think October 31st, I'm hearing from him, getting pushback that that's too long.
Yeah.
Well, but if there is a shorter time frame, maybe we can get that.
Two things. One is that what you said about your desires of having coordinate sports fields with schools and with other organizations and all, and have online, all of that stuff is exactly what we don't have now. And we've been, and through the interlocal agreement, that's a wish list of what we could have. And we should have that.
We do have coordinated reservations, just to be clear. We just don't have the online portion of it. I just, because you're saying what I said, and that's, I'm just saying the online presence of it.
Are we coordinating with, if somebody calls up, how many people they have with schools and all, that's what's, you know, what the service is now?
We do whatever is necessary to accommodate. And
no,
yeah, we will pick up the phone. We'll call the school. We'll connect the two.
They have one stop.
They're separate.
Honestly,
they're separate, but they coordinate with them.
Absolutely, yeah. We're in coordination with anybody who has anything to do with sports fields, and we will do whatever we can to help the customer out.
Well, one way that we could solve that is if individuals say you have a geographic area, somebody wants to be able to reserve a ball field. I would think that the contact information in the map would be right there, helpful on the website, so that if all they're doing is receiving the contact information for the schools of that area, we can provide that by adding the intelligence and equipping them online already.
We could do that. It's going to cost money, and that's
what I'm saying is that we're not doing that yet, and that's what should be foundational to a well-equipped reservation online system.
And that's something that we could certainly
which is
cost out.
Is that what your wish list is not happening? But we ought to. We can serve the customer better.
The total wish list.
Smarter system.
The total wish list. But it would be going backwards to separate. It would be harder. It would not be one-stop shopping if we were to go off on our own. It is one-stop shopping. It may not be the wish list that I have and that I share with you as far as having a clear interface, an electronic interface to make it easy, doesn't exist. But the one-stop shopping does. When we were calling around to get fields, I call one place, and they help me get fields, whether they be in the specific geographical area I thought they were going to be in or next to it. So that exists. It does exist, and it's very helpful. And that's just on the sports field side. Obviously, there's a lot of other aspects to what we're talking about. And I don't disagree on the interface side.
How do we give Pete a profile of the service you want?
Well, for me, Pete broke it out a little bit differently than I would have broken it out. For example, under parks resource management, I would include in our needs a management of property management program, which includes multiple residential and agricultural parks. D, in other words, D, F, G, H. I have a big question mark on J. Those are the ones I could identify right away, along with all of the sports fields and reservations.
James, you have a question here. Duplicates. Yeah.
That's what I kind of thought when I saw that.
The other element, when you look at management and administration, one of the directions would be currently they do the lion's share of the customer service work. It's one contact. If there's a problem and it goes through them, they also manage the Parks and Rec Advisory Commission, and so if we were to do something differently, we would have to sort out how we would address that, because that's something that the director's been responsible for, and so all of those things are built into the first one. The Parks Resource Management, there's a really good interface between what Brian does and what Bill does. Bill does the on-the-ground maintenance. Brian takes care of the operational problems that come up. He oversees the park ambassadors. He's on call. If there's a parks problem, Brian is there 24/7, because I know how many times he's been down there on a weekend and so forth. So there's just they obviously work very closely together and coordinate their activities. But Brian is, I nominated him for our STAR program because he's one of our most valuable county employees. But he doesn't work for the county, but he works for us.
There's no doubt about it.
There's so many other staff there involved.
So
in that.
Well, I guess I'm in the direction I would go would be to bring maintenance, all the maintenance back to the county.
The maintenance is in the county.
Resource management.
Because you have some of it underneath here. The coordination I guess would be, I guess that would be somebody like the park people saying something has to be done. That's the coordination of the garbage equipment, the signage, and then we do that. But then someone has to tell the overseer of the operation, which would be...
Well, what happens typically is we'll get a phone call, we'll get a complaint, we'll get said want, a need, a this or that. We determine whether it's something that we should be looking at from an administrative end, is something we can add to a park.
Yeah.
But at the same, if it's something that is a maintenance function or something, yeah, that's where Bill and I interface.
That's when you notify them.
That's where we work together. And a lot of times it's a gray area in between with what people are asking for. And we can best serve them.
For another example is when we opened up Kleinline, you wanted signs at all of the other park swim areas. And, you know, that was something that Brian took care of and got done. So that's, you know...
So you made the signs? Well, you did.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, I would think that would be a job that you would do, your department.
We do park operations.
Well, let me ask you, Pete, why wouldn't your team puts up signs all the time? Why wouldn't your team just go out there and put up signs? Why would you have to go through the city of Vancouver and then have somebody else do that? Why wouldn't your team just go put up signs?
We could. It's just that it was easy and very timely.
I would think it would be less costly for your team that does that routinely just to go do it.
Actually, these are a different type of sign than most of our road signs. We could go either way, obviously, but...
I'm trying to draw that solid line. No, when you see what needs to be done, and you go out there, and someone's brought it to your attention, you call up the county and say, hey, we have maintenance crew. We are the maintenance crew. And we go do that. But we do that under direction of the overseer, as you would the ambassadors or the lifeguards. I guess you'd be in charge of the lifeguards, too. But I'm trying to get back to physical impact. What the county can do so that we have a solid line that we are construction, we are maintenance, we are repairs.
So oversight and coordination, those kinds of things would be more of the park side, and then the physical, you know, build, repair, maintain, county side.
Yeah.
Is that kind of where you're headed?
For this next year.
I got you.
Then as we start looking at building, we'll have to take a step back and see if we're going to need help with that.
We have a volunteer coordinator that's out at the 78th Street.
Yes.
She works, she's a county employee, right?
Yes.
Who does she coordinate? Yeah, is it the volunteers? Is that through the city or is that through the county?
It's through the county. But she also has a counterpart in the city that they coordinate with.
They work together.
And then she works closely with Bill, but Brian also, as to what opportunities are out there for volunteers, and puts projects together to engage the volunteers.
She's got two entities to work with, the city and the county.
No, she works with the county. She just coordinates with her counterpart, because sometimes it makes sense to have joint events. And... So they do that. So she's pretty independent, but they've got two people that do very similar jobs, so they communicate and work and coordinate a lot.
So can I suggest, I want to go back through this, and I think I could write a little bit better summary to help us get to a more definite conclusion than I think we're going to get to today. Can I take this information and bring this back next week?
Of course.
With more definite thing and better understanding.
If you want to meet,
as to what we
and I would like with. To maybe see if I can schedule some time for you to walk through it.
Yeah,
perfect.
And that would help me. And you kind of get my drift of where I'm trying to go with construction, physical work, brain work.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, administrator,
So Bill, you're the muscle, apparently. So you got the brain and the muscle.
Yeah.
You can tell by the size.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, there he is, right there.
I feel like you feel
I could
bad
learn more work for you here.
I would like to show you what our capabilities are within our boxed system, our registration system. We have the potential to do online registration. We chose not to with Luke Jensen just because we wanted to get a feel of the first year full registrate. We have that potential.
Good.
We've never been directed 100, you will do so. We've gone cautiously with it, but let me show you what we're capable of doing.
I think that that is a difficult task for us to take on without taking on the FTE itself. Right.
So Commissioner Wilkie's going to go back and look at some brain and muscle vision to labor.
Your work is kind of cut out for you
for the next week.
I do have one question, that is that if we're not cutting any services and we're going to save almost $200,000. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we already doing that?
Okay. Good point. What we're doing is that, for one thing, one of the shared landscape architects, Terry Snyder, is going to be doing next to nothing for us. He's really being assigned to doing inventory for city parks. And then one of the others has actually left employment and they're not filling that position. So we've actually reduced that resource. And so the few people that we have left are trying to do more things to cover more bases with fewer resources, which is where the savings are.
Well,
so the level of service clearly can't be as good because, you know, they're spread pretty thin.
So this plan does include cutting services.
Architectural services that we weren't going to use anyway. Yeah.
But it's
then
not
that's kind of where I'm coming it, from.
It's
too.
Not cutting the services because the most, when I had the hybrid plan, I really see the work that Brian does, the work that Eric does, who does all the scheduling, and then what Jeremy does with managing the other lands, and then they cross and share and so forth. But those three positions are incredibly invaluable. But they need some administrative support, which is part of the administration. They need a place to, they need a desk and all of those associated costs. And then we do have a significant expense in managing the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission, which is really what the director does and so forth. So those are the key things.
Okay.
Well, and just because, so the new guy knows that the two old guys sitting around the table here who have been here the past 4 years haven't been just sitting on our hands spending money. If you look at how much was spent, each year there have been savings. We have spent less each year over the past 4 years. Yes. We have between 2009 and 2012, there is about $300,000 less that was spent from general fund for parks than over the period between 2009 and 2012. So there have been a lot of conversations about how we can be more efficient and effective in how we provide the service, and that has generated savings. We're just continuing along the path, and it doesn't mean we don't need to do more. Just to make sure that everybody's on the same page that we already have been working along that path.
Well, I have one more question, that is that this is funded with a general fund.
Right.
We funded the lifeguards with the MPD funds.
Right.
Why aren't we using MPD funds for this?
Only for maintenance.
Because this is the answer.
There's two reasons why. One is that when we started the Greater Clark Parks District, it was funded, it was created to maintain those parks. The commissioners told us that you cannot develop parks unless we have money to maintain them, because we could not continue to maintain parks by general fund. In 2009, we added more responsibility to the Greater Clark Parks District to pick up some of those things that the general fund previously did, and that's cost us in about $750,000 a year. We add another $100,000 for lifeguard. That's not sustainable when we build the 10 remaining parks, because
and the bottom line is the voters were told that the MPD funds are for maintenance and operation of parks within the Vancouver urban growth area. That's what they were told. Yeah, they were told very specifically, that's what your money's going toward.
And isn't this maintenance and operation?
That's Bill.
It's yeah.
Okay. Bill, so you're funded by through this, right?
No,
Bill's not.
He's
at
not
all.
At all.
In
other words, there's nothing that would, none of these expenses qualify for to be paid for out of MPT, any MPT funds. It all must be legally paid for out of the general fund.
No. It does. Some of it, a portion of it would qualify for you, you know, anything that is in the park district boundary. So a portion of what Brian does, a portion of what Eric Christensen does, and so forth, could eligibly, no audit finding, be spent by General Clark or the
MPD.
Greater Clark Parks District. We just don't have the resources in that levy amount to do all of the things that we're obligated to do. And the original concept was that the general fund would continue to pay for what the general fund was previously paying. This new money just enabled us to build the 35 parks. So legally we could do it, but we don't we won't have the long-term resources to be able to do it, which is why I'm also concerned about the $750,000 of parks maintenance. The other thing that this graph or this spreadsheet doesn't show you is that Bill's maintenance budget has taken, on the general fund side, has taken bigger hits than this. So I'm real leery to, you know, Bill can't do much more without more resources because he's done a yeoman's job of maintaining our park system on a shoestring budget.
Well, there's really two parts here. One is that we're long overdue. We should have changed our policy a long time ago so that the PIF funds can be made more flexible. We had it as an action item one or two meetings ago, Bill.
And it is underway.
It's working. We're proceeding to get that, bring that back forward to you.
Okay. And the other is that right now we're not using any MPD funds to take care of any of this. Shouldn't we use some? At least between now and the end of the year to direct.
As a steward of that money, I would recommend against it because.
And we already are. We're using it for the lifeguards. I mean, instead of what it used to be, which the lifeguards were paid out of in 2009, they were paid out of
general fund.
And so why don't we do this? I'd like people to. I'll find out from the budget office what would rightfully qualify, be appropriate to be funded by MPD out of these particular line items, at least between now and the end of the year.
Actually, I can provide all of that to
okay.
you.
Can you
I can
that?
Do that.
That
without,
would be great.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll get that information.
Our direction should be organization and focus on needs from the parks.
Agreed.
We can work funding later, can't we?
Well, I'm thinking that whatever we can do to identify savings for the general fund, this is a step in that direction.
That's just shifting funds, and the MPD was specifically identified by the voters for a purpose. And so playing bait and switch with the voters isn't my way.
Well, we can't do that, I don't think.
Legally, he's saying we probably could do it partially, but go tell the voters that.
After 2 years?
Did we ever get the messages of what was communicated to
That's
the voters?
True. They voted.
Because certainly
yeah,
we want to be forthright. We want to do what we said we were going to do.
Right.
But what did we say?
I was around and I helped with that. But we can get that.
We need that documentation because in order for us to be faithful to a commitment, we need to know what that commitment was.
Perfect. All right, excellent. We've gone well over time on this part, but thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate all your help on this, and we'll look forward. You're going to work with Commissioner Mielke. We'll come back next week, and we'll talk more about this, see if we can get some direction.
Parks attendance.
Parks attendance, yes. Parks attendance, yes, please. Go.
Brian, as there was concerns about the park attendance because of some of the problems that we were having in some parks, Brian has been working with all of the park attendants, actually kind of changed it to a park ambassador program.
I like that.
And they are doing essentially, and Brian can add more detail, but essentially they're helping people. I think Commissioner Bedore saw they had a gator, and if somebody had a big cooler full of appropriate things, they would use it to help bring it into the park so that someone doesn't have to lug the cooler. They're also talking to people that are violating rules, and usually in a pleasant way, and 90%+ of them will honor their requests and so forth. In some cases, it escalates, and they will go up the chain of command ultimately even to contacting law enforcement if necessary, but that's not the route we want to solve problems. They are, there's usually, depends on which park, but like at Louisville, which is a very large park, there's usually at least one person at the gate to help people. If they come in, they've got a reservation, they can tell them where that shelter is or where different groups might be. Others are roaming around, helping people, dealing with violators, and trying to make the experience as good as possible. And I think, you know, I think you met Connor and Pablo.
Yeah,
and
I'd like to, if you give me a minute, to say something about that experience. What was that? Was that
1 minute.
Thursday?
Last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. I was invited to Kleinline, and I could not have been more impressed. The lifeguards, the leadership there, the expertise, man, that was amazing. And I also met Pablo and Connor on their gator as park ambassadors. And man, I was really pleased. And I don't think this was kind of like the Bill was there.
Yeah, Bill was in charge of giving them direction, is that correct?
Yeah. And you know, if you used to go to the Soviet Union, you go to the tour and then it's like, that's a bunch of sea. That's not what's happening here. Okay. This was stellar. You guys have done fabulous in getting that team together out there and truly engaging with people in a way that I think anybody, if you haven't been to Kleinline lately, to walk in the gate and it just hits you. Those new floaters and the new everything is like, this is outstanding. It was, you guys did
I'm
fabulous.
I'm not getting
on
those
that.
Phone calls.
And I asked the guys on the
gator. I got the other ones.
I asked the guys on the gator. There used to be vandalism in a stall, and there was misbehaving going on, like at Frenchman's Bar.
Don't look at me.
And you guys have handled it. You corrected it. And I'd like to be able to have you address that, to say, what is the status of the vandalism? How good are our ambassadors working now? What difference? Do we have a contrast now? Is this the after and the before compared to the before?
I think it is much better now. We're not having the troubles at Louisville. It can be partially to the ambassadors. It could be partially to the publicity and some people just taking their parks back as citizens. Mm-hmm. And then
MIPs and exclusions have helped.
And then at Frenchman's Bar, a little bit Louisville, at Frenchman's Bar, it was the young people's party hangout place.
Used to be.
It was, because there we needed somebody with more authority than a park ambassador. And so we started having regular patrols by Vancouver Police Department, because that's inside the city of Vancouver. We paid probably, how much extra?
About $3,000.
About $3,000. They've cited some people. Four people were expelled. They cannot return to the park because they were continued offenders and were not taking directions. And that has just sent the message, and the whole thing has cleaned up considerably over the last month.
So are we healthy now?
Yes. Drinking, we're a public park. We'll still have some problems. That's going to happen. And alcohol continues
drinking,
to be a problem.
And it's not
people are hiding it a little bit better. The smoking of marijuana is still out there.
That's good. Yeah. That's less public, right?
Yeah.
Medical marijuana.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But we're not getting the complaints. And even, you know, even last year, those things happen.
Is there anything more that we can or should do in order to make sure that a bad behavior doesn't happen, like a Frenchman's Bar or anything else? Or you feel like we've finally addressed it and we're healthy again?
The other options that we might have are considerably more expensive, and I would want to make sure that if we can control things with the resources that we're using now and not have added expense, that would be my preference.
We're already adding expense. We don't want to add more expense. There you go.
And so I think we want to continue to monitor it because I think that we're not seeing the complaints, we're not seeing the problems, and so things seem to be going pretty well. But I don't want to be the one that just be the doctor that declares, you know, someone is perfectly well. We'll continue to monitor it and stay keep those tabs.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you for all your
Thank
work
you.
On it. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you
three.
Yeah.
All right.
And those lifeguards, man, you guys hit a home run. That is really good.
Same guys that put together the Casa now.
Yep. Well, the good news is they only had to work a few weeks, you know, because it's water tap.
Actually, it's open again. It opened on Sunday.
For a little while, right? I agree. It's great.
When did it open? Skyline opened on Saturday or Sunday?
Reopened Saturday. So it's closed Thursday and Friday.
Yeah,
thank
so
you
great.
Very much.
It still doesn't solve the problem. We're going to have algae bloom problems in all of our, you know, yes. swimming holes. We got to fix it.
We're real late. 29th, you want to keep till next week?
Yes. I do.
The road
yeah.
accident, the four-way stop.
Yeah. Bring us information next week on that, please.
Actually, I previewed it.
Yeah.
You and I can talk about that, too. Maybe we can spend a couple hours.
I think you, Bill, someone showed me all the things we did or going to do.
Yep.
Oh, I think we did. I think we
Excellent.
Did, right?
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. All right.
So what do we check off here so far?
1, 2, and 3.
Hi, Marty.
1.2, 1.3.
Good afternoon.
We're on 1.4, permit center remodel with Mr. Marty Snell. All right. So, Bill, Marty, who wants to lead us off on this?
Marty.
I met with you individually about a schedule to get a remodel of the permit center underway. And there were questions about possible phasing of the remodel, and then there were questions about any temporary location and steps to achieve that.
Your horse is a little hoarse.
Yeah, excuse me. So I've worked with facilities on if we want to get to a remodel and have it completed before the next busy season starting spring, we should be moving before the middle of December, backing away from that date. The next step for me, the immediate step for me, is to get direction to the architect to prepare construction documents and specifications, so we'll know what costs are potentially attendant to this. One of the issues that came up is a basic floor plan with the instruction to not do anything to the extent that there needs to be anything done with ceiling, lighting, those kinds of things, with the addition of an alternative add over a reception area and over a back kind of workspace area. So that's where I'm at.
Well, Marty, lighting is very important. They just come. You'll just come up and give us the estimate for the lighting that's necessary.
Well, the basic will be don't do anything with the lighting if you don't have to. That's the basic plan.
Okay.
The option of any other change in lighting or ceiling treatment would be over one reception area.
Where specifically would be flat.
Like where this yeah, reception area will be.
Mm-hmm.
And then a back work space area so you don't have a giant monotonous sea of the same ceiling and lighting scheme.
Okay.
So those would be alternative additions, and if those are priced too high, too low, too indifferent,
yeah.
then we can say go with the basic
yeah.
with nothing
it's
else.
It's important when they're reading prints and stuff
right.
that they have good lighting.
Oh, yes.
No cast and that kind of thing.
Correct.
So that's, I'm concerned about
but
that.
But we won't
so.
Know that until we get to
until
the construction drawing stage.
Okay. And I think that's where we've authorized
right.
to go
right.
with all there, come back and show us
yes.
our true cost.
Correct.
Because I think the estimated cost was high.
Well, and the estimated cost included new furniture and furnishings. Some of this may not work very well for the setup of customer service. High walls
yep.
aren't going to do well with sitting down with customers. You want
right.
lower walls, the
right.
fabric walls.
Right.
So that's part of the component of cost is furniture.
It'll be broke out.
Yes.
Great.
So, Marty, you received my email asking for what the costs are going to be and how much we've spent so far.
We've only engaged the architect for these conceptual drawings, and I think it's been like $5,500 or something like that today. Not a lot of money.
Okay. And do you know about how much you're expecting this project to cost?
Facilities put it between $275 and $400. Quite a range.
Right, yeah.
And the construction costs would be about $120 to $170. And the additional costs would be furniture.
Any idea how much furniture is going to cost?
The furniture is between about $80 to $100.
Okay, so on the low side, we're looking at that's $450,000 on the low side.
No. Total project estimated costs. Low is $276,000 and the high is $400,000.
Including furniture. Thank you.
In other words, you broke them down.
Yes.
So $400,000. Do we know what you're expecting the cost to be to get to the point we have a proposal for the construction, actual cost?
When we get construction documents that then will there'll be bid estimates from.
Do you know what it will cost to get construction documents?
The architects, it would be, this is according to Laura Peterson, professional services is $15,000 to $18,000.
$15,000 to $18,000,
right,
to get to the point where you have
architectural
to bid.
Yeah. So, excuse me, the total
to get a proposal.
To get the construction drawings.
That would be the bid documents.
Yeah. Yes, and the bid documents. Correct.
Those would be able to give us more accurate numbers.
You'll get precise numbers from that.
Tighter numbers.
And just very quickly, the total construction cost would be $150 to $220. And then the fees furniture moves, $125, call it, to $177. Those are the two major components of the total project costs.
Do you know what it would... Does this include a plan to move out, equip the elections office with IT and furniture and electrical and whatever you need over there?
I think that's in the move costs.
Well, do you have actual...
That's between 4 and 8.
Where are those numbers coming from?
Facilities.
That they gave you... Can you give us a written proposal for this?
We can get... This is the written proposal for the permit center remodel.
Can we have copies of it?
We need to get... If this doesn't include, what will it take and what will it cost to move in a temporary location, say in the elections building?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's included in this or excluded in this. I can ask the question.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't you pull together a proposal that would so that we would know what the cost would be to equip the elections office room.
Elections office.
And to make the move, to do the work, to finish the work, to set it up, to move back in, and to undo all the stuff that you did at the elections office. So that we have a time plan, and a cost plan.
I think he has that.
No, he doesn't.
There's the time plan, and then he told us what the cost was.
Is there
so
a
the
move,
time
is
plan,
there a move in and a move out on your time plan, Mark?
There's a set up new permit center location is from, say, the 1st of December to the middle of December.
There you go.
Then the construction of the remodel, the construction in the permit center while we're relocated, would be from the middle of December to however long it would take. I mean, there's just a draft, I will emphasize draft, that maybe it's like 2 months.
You don't have construction drawings, and
exactly.
So until you have construction drawings, you can't finalize it.
Well, correct. Before you get construction drawings, you end up with an actual conceptual drawings that will show what it's going to look like.
And that's what these are.
He's got those.
No, that doesn't...
Show him the drawings.
That's what these are.
These.
Well, for instance, the work includes adding the change in the door from a single door on the side to double doors.
That's what's in the concept.
And their ceiling, there's a hard ceiling there that's not shown there. It's not part of that, right? And I would think that would be an important part of that concept.
So if the concept is to stay with no changes to the ceiling, they would just simply remove that treatment?
No, I'm talking about the when you, let's say you move the door to be the double door.
Yes.
Now you've got a portion of the ceiling that hangs down substantially over about 6 feet. That's going to be offset for the door.
This, and this concept?
No, that doesn't show what the ceiling is. It's not showing. It's not part of the drawing.
I think what we need to do is allow them to go forward to get the firm information for us, and that's the estimated cost of $15,000 to $18,000 to come back with all the information, and at that point we could say yes, no, look at the time frame, but he's got to have some place to start from.
Sounds good.
If this is the floor plan, then I need construction documents.
So you've got the direction to go forward and get those construction documents and then come back to us to get...
Don't rush it.
I'm not rushing it, but we're not going to micromanage any further on this. We need to get construction documents. Both of us have said that we're good with getting that information. That will provide you more information as well as all three of us. But we've got to move forward on this to actually get that information and hit the timelines to be able to get this work done before the next construction season, because this was all about trying to make it more customer friendly. Because it's all about customer service. And if it's about customer service, then it means we need to start along the process, and then there are decision points along the way that we can help with. But we've got to get this one moving.
Slow down.
And I'm not slowing down anymore. We've got two votes on this, and we can go round and round.
What it shows, though, is that we need to go to architect now.
Well, there's two steps to an architect. One is the architect comes back with, and Marty, you come back with a real proposal. Because the argument will be, if we already put $5,500 into there, we put another $18,000, $20-some thousand just to get to the point where we can then see something in front of us, the argument will be then that we burnt so much money that we really doesn't, we don't have the choice not to cash in on moving forward with a $500,000 project. I would rather have your team equipped with staff that can serve customers better rather than to put so much money into this when we haven't even gone through the first step of having the concept that actually includes what real hard features are in your ceiling down there now, and the integration of your team that includes what are you going to do for the lean process for the third floor individuals that are on your team but they're not down there. That proposal would be, before you burn that much money, I'd love to see the plan. I'd love to see the proposal that shows how you've integrated the lean process and how the drawings that you come up with that are just the concept drawings, which cost very little, what you have there don't match.
So there's get her done, and then there's slow it down and miss a window. And you had talked
there's
a lot about
haste that makes waste.
You had really, because you had talked about the fee holiday that we needed to do it now because we didn't want to miss a construction window. If we don't move forward on fixing what is truly a substandard part of our facility and get started on that process with the ability to adjust along the way to make sure that we're doing it in the most efficient fashion, then we will miss a construction window to help our customers.
I think we're there. I think we're farther along than you think. Here's the concept of what it is.
And we don't need to be micromanaging the conceptual drawings.
Let me show you what's not here. See these double doors here? There's a hard ceiling that drops down that goes all the way across here. That changes this. When you walk into a room like that and you look at that leftover, the architect is not aware of that basic.
They've been to the site.
Well, but it's not drawn in here. You're talking about dropping in hard ceiling features and you don't
No, we're not.
We're not doing anything with the ceiling.
Well, this shows these ceiling features in here.
And when we've had this discussion about giving direction to the architect, this is actually a better perspective, is this would be Alt-Add 1, Alt-Add 2. Everything else, the basic ceiling and lighting scheme stays the same in this layout. But if we want to treat the ceiling and the lighting differently over the reception area and over this work area to break up the monotony of the ceiling perspective, then this is an alternative add that we would estimate and bid out and build or not build, estimate, bid out, and build or not build. But the ceiling, what I would come back, I would, my opinion is we would spend money to come up with something exactly the same without this and without this, because the assumption would be, do not do anything with the ceiling and the lighting if you don't have to.
Right. And there, anytime, let's say you're going to build a house, in order to end up with plans for the home, you go through a two-step process. The first one is a low-cost, quick, where you walk through, and this is the cosmetic of what it would look like. And it would start with those features that are already known, which is not shown here. And then, if that looks like that makes sense, and it also includes what each room and what each space is going to be used for, then you can take it to the next step and spend the big bucks of getting the actual construction drawings, because that looks right. And Steve, just to correct the misunderstanding here, this was not to hurry up and get this construction season. The push when we
was for the fee holiday. That was, there's no correction. That's what you said during the fee holiday. What I'm saying is I don't want to miss a construction season to have a better facility. That's what I'm saying.
And let me correct that, because it's a misunderstanding. The push was not to, for the fee holiday, was not to hurry up and hit a construction season.
It's on the tape.
Let me correct that. The Clark County was on hold week by week by week until we made a decision, so that we could get that Clark County off of hold. So it wasn't a construction season. It was that all the job creators were waiting for a decision. We got that decision done, and your team is I consider that your team a very important. You are the gatekeeper.
Then unleash them
for the county. So it takes. I want to make sure that you are set up for success. That we haven't finished the process for the commercial lien, and we haven't integrated. This plan was started before you did you got this before the lien process.
We put it on hold until we got done with the lien process.
Well,
now we've waited 30 more days.
We're going to live with this for years, and
absolutely.
I want to make sure that your team has, that you've got the right people in that team. You still got a number of your team members on the third floor.
Right.
Have you thought about who's going to be assigned? What the flow is? Is it, does that go along with the lien process?
We have plans examiners available and in the permit center for customer service assistance. And when they are doing their review substantively of plans at a plan table, having them in the permit center interrupted by people is going to bog down their work. And I've mentioned that it doesn't matter where they're at, whether they're the first floor, the third floor, the sixth floor. They need uninterrupted time to review plans. And I'm saying, we have space on the third floor. That's where they're at now. Their review is unaltered, and they can move through plans.
So the answer is you have thought about the flow.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And that was the lien program that you went through.
Yes, and we're going to be looking at commercial construction, just like we did with single family and a subdivision.
But we haven't done that yet. How long is it going to take to get the lien process done for the commercial?
We just met with Deeb last week, and I think we're looking at this in September, October.
Okay. Wouldn't it make sense to know that piece of the puzzle done, so you know what your flow is going to be, what team members you're going to need in that permit center in order to service the business side of things, so that you can accommodate them?
Well,
the business side is so important.
A lot of this,
make sure we get it right.
A lot of this, as I've mentioned, is the intake piece. Once the intake piece is done, and that's where we see, just like in residential, that's where we see the snags. Once the intake is done and a person has a plan in front of them, they're on the third floor doing that work. So in terms of the intake side, this is where it happens in the permit center. And as it stands now, when it gets busy down there, people are bumping into each other left and right.
We haven't got the lien for the commercial side of it yet, so you don't know what that flow and what that
on the intake side. Do you know?
I don't think it'll be much different than single family residential because you're still looking at plot plans and stormwater.
Yep.
Site plans instead of subdivisions.
If it's that simple, why don't you finish that up?
We've been crushed with
busy.
The increase of development, buildings. Yes.
Which is good news.
It's good news. That's all why. Good news. It's just
we've equipped them for success. And we made the decision to, let them find that success in making these changes.
And what I'm saying, why September, October is because we're hoping that we'll catch a little break in the crush of reviewing commercial and office and other non-residential plans because we need those people to find out.
All right.
Well, so I want to make sure that we have a clarity here on the direction forward because what we don't have is two votes to fully implement this process.
Agreed.
What we have is two votes to come back with a proposal
No,
we're going to move forward.
There you go.
With the plan for October to go with the architect,
and then we're going to get those construction documents, the construction plans, come back to us
now.
Yes, so that is what we are moving forward with.
There's a time frame that we have to try to match.
There will be an opportunity with those.
We're
going to
have those answers.
We're
going to have those answers,
right?
Soon, and then plugged into the flow of the traffic, and that's what we're trying to fix the flow of the traffic.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
And what I'll do is what I heard is when we need a plan for if we move temporarily to the elections building, what does that look like?
Absolutely.
We'll know that, and we need to know that.
You've heard the questions and the concerns with it, so make sure that you're able to address those.
And the dollars you have right now, I know they're very loose estimates.
Yes.
So
yes.
You tighten those up a little bit.
And I assume that you're good for spending $400,000+ on this?
No,
we're not doing that.
That's not what we're doing. The construction drawings will come back to us at 18 is where we'll be at that point.
15 to 18.
And then we can make adjustments as necessary if we see that there are adjustments that are necessary.
The 15-18 gives us construction plans to implement a $400,000
$270,000 is the low end.
Tell us whether or not we're buying new furniture.
And you can stop it. That's what you do when you get construction drawings. You go to bid. The bid comes back with the prices. And the prices tell you where you want to go.
We're all guesstimation right now until we have more facts. We don't have firm facts.
We need the facts.
You can't get those numbers out from facts. I'm just saying, builder come in and bid on something that I don't have plans for you to bid on.
That's how you build
in the analogy of residential, because I built one house in my life. I looked at a plan from Mascor Design. I liked it. And then I had to pay money to get construction drawings prepared for my builder to then say, okay, it's going to cost $115,000.
Right. That's the two steps I was talking about.
And we've already done step one. We need to get to step two, which is, what does the construction entail, and how much is that going to cost? And I can tell you, with at least what Facilities has given me, we could save money by using the furniture we have. It might be ugly. It might not fit very well. The finishes might not match, but that's one option.
We will know that once we get the construction drawings.
And the architect knows about that drop, that hard ceiling where that is going to cut off part of the doors.
Yes.
And the architect knows that they're to give a cost, and they're not planning on removing that part, right?
The architect, what they'll do is they'll use our existing plans, construction plans, to probably work from.
So we need them. Go get them.
Okay.
Thanks, Marty.
1.5.
Animal shelter follow-up.
Can you report for Paul?
Oh,
you are Paul Scarpelli.
I am Paul. He's got a lot more hair than me. Okay.
Fair enough. Than most of us, so it's fair.
Not Paul.
No, I'm
not. Yeah,
I can run better than Paul, though, okay? I can run better than him.
Is this something we need Paul for?
Yes.
Then why don't we?
Well, Paul is...
No, it isn't. Okay.
I don't think he is, because...
The Humane Society, their executive board meets like the 20th or 22nd of August, and he was going to go to the board, and the board is expressing an interest in going with a one-year contract for 2014. So that's all I know
of what Paul is looking
right.
into.
That's what he was
doing. That's the direction they
all. They haven't shut the door on it 1 year.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. They haven't met on it yet.
Yes, they haven't met on it.
And general feel is that they might be acceptable to that.
I don't know whether.
Oh, we don't know. Okay.
So we'll know that after the 20th, is that what you said?
20th or 22nd, something like that. It's the 20-something.
Perfect.
We're good.
We'll look forward to getting something back from you.
I'll ask Paul to
thank you.
Make sure he's...
Thanks for all your work, Mari. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Timely.
All right.
In your spare time.
Exactly. So you handed out the dues in county... Geez, sorry. Breaking pens. You handed out the dues. Grief. The dues and county support report. We're going to look at that and come back to it next week. I got it. 2.1, County Administrator Board Commission Replacements. Bill represents us on a number of boards and commissions, and I thought I had it. You gave me a copy. All right, maybe. Oh, there we go. I did have it. Good. There, you're going to have it. So these are the boards and commissions that Bill sits on for us. The request is being made to actually have Axel replace Bill on these boards and commissions for us. At least for the interim, until we have an interim, and then we can decide whether we want the interim director to do that. And I'm saying that with Axel in the room, but I don't know if...
Does Axel have the bandwidth?
Axel, yes. Do you have the bandwidth? Bill says yes. Axel, do you have the bandwidth?
Yeah, well, Bill's given me a heads up on a few of these as he's come across them in his planning to leave us. So, yeah, I mean, I think so.
How often does the CRESA board meet?
Once a month.
What time?
10:30 on the first Thursday of every month.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah, so I might want to partner up with you on the CRESA board.
It's okay. For the county administrator or his designate, and they're only elected official on the board by interlocal agreements to sheriff.
Well, I'm just thinking for the insight. That's one area.
You can go. It's an open meeting, right?
Because we have a big procurement coming up with the 800 megahertz radio system.
So just if you could keep Commissioner Medora and in the loop as far as when those meetings are, and so that he can tag up with you on that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm distributing materials.
Okay. Megahertz.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate
megahertz.
It. All right.
Twice
it. Let's see. Got that one. Follow up on the kennel citation suspension. That's why Marty was standing around.
What's GI?
Oh, we need Chris Horn here. He went back down. He had some.
I don't know.
4-7.
Sorry, hold on one sec, Marty. What's JDAI?
Oh, I know that JDAI.
Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. I'm on the executive committee at the request of the Superior Court.
Got it. Okay. So juvenile. There. Okay.
4-7.
All right. Who are you calling now?
Chris Horn.
And this is for kennels and coffee.
Oh, yeah. And coffee.
Dogs and coffee.
That was on my list. I'm just getting the stuff.
We had wine and weed, now we have dogs and coffee.
Chris, can I come up?
Fair enough.
Thanks.
This is the breath
wine
of we do, you know?
While he's coming, shall I do the health department
request? That
sounds
great. Sounds great.
They asked for an expedited review of this. This is for, we are going to be the representative for Southwest Washington Public Health, at least the state had asked us to be, for enrolling people into the health care plan, all the underinsured people. We're the gatekeeper for that. This is a fully funded position to do exactly that.
So it's fully funded?
Yes.
That's great.
As long as
they would ask
funded.
You to not, do the 1 week suspension and go with it now.
State fully funded?
Yes, sir.
And if it's fully funded, it's okay with me.
We can sure do that.
Thank you, Commissioners. I really appreciate the variance.
This is where the system works for us, not us.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Remember that? Excellent.
Remember, that's how we used to do it. That's why I give you flack, because that's how we used to do it.
As they should.
Now we've gone back to it.
We are smart in how we do it.
We were smart before.
Well, you're not just smart, Commissioner. Brilliant.
Sometimes you try to outsmart yourself.
Brilliant.
If you want to do another one, 3.2, Commissioner, if I may.
Yes,
I gave you three possibilities for work session. The P-card audit, debt policy, and the vacant buildable lands model. For work sessions. Those I gave you last week to do. P-card audit, that Kimsey already met on it.
Yep.
At a press conference. I don't know if
you
need to have a work session unless you're...
You already did this thing on that, no.
The finance committee...
Wait, slow down. I've gone over those and I've got some feedback, some questions. I'm looking for the...
On the P-card?
Purchasing card. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, feedback from who?
From him.
Yeah. Actually, let's see here.
you want to
so, so the question is, I guess...
Yeah, PCR looks good. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
That's fine.
And the question for all of these is, do we want to have a work session or do we want to, you know, do we want to provide feedback in a different forum? This is kind of what they're... Because they originally wanted a work session.
Well, I've got some questions that would determine whether or not we can get those questions Perfect. Answered here and now or no.
So the Finance Committee signed off on the debt policy.
Right. Well, that's... I want to talk about the debt policy.
That's what we're on. And we just signed off on that. And that's the chair and the okay. auditor and the treasurer
yeah.
sit on that.
Yeah. Okay, first one on page, under guidelines on page F3. What's that? You see the page that says guidelines at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it talks about the limit on how much we can borrow, mm-hmm. all up to 5% of the proceeds of tax-exempt bonds. I think that's really high. I would not assume that we would ever allow our community to go into that much debt. Debt will kill any business and could kill a county.
So the debt policy, all policy authority to issue debt rests within the Board of County Commissioners. That is also specified within there. So this is coming from the finance perspective of GMPs. There are BMPs, best
there
management
are,
practices.
There are other steps. That's right. It's right near the
page
one, the index right there. It's not page, it's not numbered.
So this is just BMPs from the treasurer's okay. office. This is not taking away any authority that the board has to actually limit the
right.
amount of debt that
it's,
we take on.
It's a policy that says how much can we borrow, and I think that policy allows us too much debt. So I would suggest that we reduce that amount because I think it's bad policy to allow the county to go into that much debt.
So item number two is actually not that. The item number two says no more than 10% of the proceeds of any tax-exempt bond issue may be used for any unrelated private business use.
Yeah.
It is not setting the cap
right.
on how much, what the percentage is that we can go in debt.
Actually, it says no more. Okay.
That's what it's actually talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I understand. And so I missed that. Let me rephrase my question. Private business use. Why would we use public debt to fund private business?
Well, in most situations, we will not be legally allowed to.
Uh-uh.
But there could be state legislation passed or some ways where we could.
Well, for example, we have the Center for Community Health.
Mm,
part of that was
right.
tax-exempt. Part of it was not tax-exempt. That's the term private use.
And it's
federal, anytime you have the federal government do anything for a bond market, it's considered private use.
Well,
because of their mass. So part of that building, when the bonds were sold, part of them were tax exempt, part of them were private activity. So they were not tax exempt.
Well, maybe.
And the reason is because of the ratio of the building that they take up. So there are times when we come into contact with private use bonds, and that's one of them. And that this means non-tax exempt.
Well, why don't we say non-tax? Why don't we say
this is the
501c3?
So
that's what
because that's what the terms of art are for bonds, tax exempt and private use.
So instead of us going line by line, my suggestion would be there are questions that it will take us much longer to answer than it would take Larry through from the treasurer's office, who was the drafter of this. So might I suggest that instead of taking all the boards and everybody else's who were with us, going line by line, that we spend the time with Larry, get questions answered that you have on that, and if we need to go to a work session, let us know, and we're happy to do it.
I'll do that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right.
And then the other one was VBL.
Vacant Buildable Lands.
Vacant Buildable Lands
I
model.
You
asked for it.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm asking for. So yes.
Absolutely.
And
okay.
And you said work session?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I definitely want to do more homework.
Yeah, really
I want to know more about
black
that.
Box.
Yeah, it's cool.
Was that really going to want to open that black box?
I do. I love it, though. I mean, I'm a geek for it. I was talking with Ken Perot about it, and it's like it's really good to actually get a handle on what we put into that black box.
Chris is here.
Hi, Chris. So we got Marty and Chris here for Kennels and Coffee. So kennel citation suspension. Marty, Chris, lead off for us on this.
Well, I understand that the board would like to both maintain the status quo and also halt any further enforcement activities while we finalize the kennel policy. So that's an assumption. If I'm correct, then I'll go on. If I'm mistaken, then I'll stop. But I would... asked to look into that.
So we have generally, our general policy has been, just historically, our general policy has been that when we are in the midst of changing an ordinance that that may affect code enforcement cases, that we put code enforcement cases on hold until we've made those changes to the ordinance, just so that somebody's not racking up fines in a code enforcement case while we're fixing something that may make it a moot point.
What we're having problem here is also, and I'm not sure where we are legally doing that, we're taking a videotape and recording of the complaint.
That was the court. We can't get into the...
What I'm saying is that we're writing citations off of evidence provided by an unofficial person.
Well, I mean, they have to be unofficial because if they're county, our code doesn't allow county employees to initiate code enforcement complaints. They have to be private persons or neighbors or...
No, I don't mean complaints. I mean, we're writing a citation on a complaint.
That would be different,
that's
though.
That's like having a person write me a personal, a speeding ticket because the policeman wasn't there.
Well, you're correct in some respects, but the board has authorized staff to do code enforcement in three ways, and the only two are really pertinent. Notice and order, which we do based on complaints. We receive complaints, we verify or refute those, and then based on those, we issue a notice and order. The other alternative is if somebody has a repeat violation or a subsequent, then the natural activity or one of the activities would be to issue a citation. But again, it has to be a complaint by a neighbor, somebody who has firsthand knowledge. We verify it, and then if we verify it, then we issue the citation. So you're correct. We do that, but that's typical.
How do we verify the complaint that we're going to write a citation with?
Well, it depends on the nature of the complaint. If it's they're doing business without a permit, we check the records. If we have no permit and we go out on site and it appears they're doing business, we can verify the complaint.
The kennel one is the only person who's trying to come into compliance, the only one trying to come into compliance, and we're
So there's two issues. One issue is kind of the standard of review for citations, right? For that. So that's something that you'd have to bring back to us because that would be new. The other one is exactly now what you're talking about as far as, like, there's somebody trying to come into compliance and we're dealing with code enforcement with them.
Can I put a context to this? So, yes, we have somebody who wants to come into compliance. Whether or not that person is in compliance today or not, the operation of that particular facility is creating problems to Title 8, the operation of a kennel, not the legally establishment of a kennel, but the operation of a kennel. So the complaint comes in, we look at the evidence. Yes, it's a complaint against the noise standards, the whatever standards, and there's a citation issued. So it's not against Title 40 standards, but it's against the Title 8 standards of operating.
So let's go one step farther.
Okay.
The reason we are there is because we went to the hearings examiner, and under the definition that we gave him, you can have zero noise, which is impossible.
Well, at night.
Right.
No, anytime. It's impossible.
Well, anytime it's impossible. He was just saying at night. But that's the point of the... We're in the middle of changing that ordinance, so should we suspend the citation? Is the citation related to the noise? That's just a quick question.
Yes.
Is it? Yes. So if it's related to the noise, the simple question before the board is, since we are dealing with noise in the update to the ordinance, should we suspend the code enforcement action until the board reaches finality on changing that noise standard? Is that right?
That's it. If I could offer one other piece. I think I can short-circuit this. Okay. The reason is, I've spoken with Janie Housley, and I proposed a compromise. The compromise is that his client will agree that he would agree to a judgment against his client. So we'd enter it, and he'd be found in violation, and penalties would be set if he doesn't file for permits within 30 days after we amend our code. This gives some certainty to the neighbors. It gives some guarantee to the county, and it avoids this ongoing citation issue with the kennel. So I think it can be a risk for the property owner, because of course if he doesn't apply on time, we can go after him. But it gives, and so it gives the neighbor some assurances, but it also gives the property owner some peace and allows them begin to work towards compliance. So I think it can be a benefit both.
A very rich Lowry solution. Solid. I like
it. Come back to us fixing the code, right?
Well, it is.
I mean, we got to do it like tomorrow.
We have to do it. They've got 30 days until we finalize it. But it would be helpful if we get it.
After we finalize.
Right.
So we need to get it done.
I agree.
In behalf of the,
totally agree.
Of the person complaining,
yes.
To respect them.
I agree.
The Planning Commission has held their hearing.
Perfect.
They've made their amendments. They're forwarding those amendments to the board. You have a work session on your calendar for 9/11.
Okay, that's part of it.
So that's
the other part, the issuing citation.
Well,
so I don't think there's a problem with going forward with the Title 40, but I don't think we should be writing citations.
That's what.
Well, as I said, if the board approves if you agree with the proposal that I've submitted to Mr. Housley, we will discontinue issuing citations based on his commitment to apply within 30 days and at some risk if he doesn't do so. So
yeah, I think they want to take that risk, but we are in error with what we've given direction to a hearings examiner who came up with this.
You're not in error. You were just unclear.
There were these other guys.
Yeah,
you were unclear, and the standard was vague.
Commissioner Madore.
The state noise standard, the WAC. Mm-hmm. I would think that unless we give someone specific authorization to violate that, exceed that, that standard still applies to everyone. Does our ordinance, as it's written now, grant the exemption for that to that voice standard?
No, it goes further. It goes even further. Which you can do. You can do that under state law. You can make it more restrictive. You just can't be less restrictive. So we made it, according to the hearings examiner, so restrictive that you get zero.
Right. Which is my point. The state noise standard would always apply. And so
unless yours is more restrictive. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And so I'm saying forget about ours being more restrictive. We would not enforce a more restrictive one because that's local. We would enforce the state standard, which is a higher threshold, which gives the kennel owner at least state ability. It's as though we had done nothing.
Right. What
I think we're going to go there. Yeah. We have to go there.
That's our ordinance.
Our code, as adopted, says something about when you have a kennel at night in an enclosed structure, you have your animals housed, that it has to be in a soundproof building.
I'm aware of that.
So that's where we're heading. You're talking
about.
That's a problem.
But the problem is that the... We are just, if we do this, then we're saying, hey, you can ignore the state standard on noise.
Well, that's it. Wait, no. Well, hold on. It's actually a good question. It's for the interim. As a legal question, in the interim between today or whenever you sign off on that thing and when we adopt this ordinance and then the 30 days after that, what noise standard would apply?
It would be, at a minimum, it would be the state WAC.
Okay. That's my point.
There you go.
That we should ensure that the state noise standard is still enforced.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's through Title 8 and the operating standards of the kennel.
That's good clarification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions or are we good with the path to send them on as long as we make that clarification about what rules in the interim?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And what we will do, if we get those violations, if we get a state noise violation, we'll track it. We won't issue a citation in the interim. We'll track it as a violation, and we'll negotiate with it in the end in terms of what penalties we collect. But we won't issue citations in the interim, so because that will be part of what this agreement is. So we won't just forget them and roll them under the car or sweep them under the carpet. But we won't be issuing citations between now and when we adopt
the new
ordinance.
Unless they go beyond the WAC standard.
If there are WAC violations, you want us to continue issuing
state
citations.
Law.
Okay. I just want.
Yeah, that's my.
That's the point.
Okay, we would still enforce the state law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We still can legally do that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Because otherwise, the neighbors are going to be so irritated that we just gave them the green light to ignore the state standard on noise.
Right. Agreed.
So, Chris, my
problem
that I'm having is that our enforcement people are not who are the ones writing the citations. Say they go out there and they have a complaint, or what happens? They bring the complaint in with the videotape at night with the sound device.
So standard review.
Yeah. So they have a video camera showing nighttime and dog barking above state regulation.
Right.
And we write a ticket off of that.
So may I request that, just in the interest of time, that we get that information about what is the existing standard of review that we use for the code enforcement cases, and then maybe a couple of examples of how others do that that provide a little bit more evidence-based approach or something?
Well, I guess I'm bringing it up now because there could be a violation if he's over state standard during this 30 days.
Somebody's got to measure it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm complaining about.
Yeah. Well, the problem, the verification issue, if I'm on the other side, and I want to try and be fair when I give you my analysis, okay, I'll keep it short. The answer is you still need to check because you need to make sure they haven't turned up the volume when they do this. So there has to be a way to validate that. And we would still advise code or animal control to take some action.
And the reason the video was harder with the old ordinance was because there was no noise, right? And so any barking at all, it's not that you have to measure it. If you can hear it, then it is.
So
right?
On the issue of enforcement, who goes out there? Law enforcement,
code enforcement
or code enforcement?
Well, actually, both have been called.
Okay. Do they both have the right instrumentation?
I have the answer to that. So I talked to Commander Shea at the fair, and I talked to Paul Scarpelli, both of them. And Commander Shea had already said, hey, we're probably going to have to get a couple of devices to do that. Paul Scarpelli said, yeah, we're going to need to get a device as well to be able to make sure that we're measuring sound appropriately and correctly. Mm-hmm. So he did say that their devices are really old and not very good, the ones that they have. And he said he had one or two that will not do adequately. So
whatever, if they buy anything, make sure that it has the mode C and mode A, because A is what the default state standard is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So and Paul was going to mention that if he was here, but he obviously wasn't able to be.
So legal, code enforcement has to do the measurement of violation.
Well, I don't believe so. I mean, as long as they can validate it, it just depends. I mean, I don't want to tell you exactly what the minimum is, but they do have to validate it.
Okay. My problem is being the sneaky character I am. I would put my video up there in the dark and have my barking dog recorder down here. You're seeing a picture of the dark, and I'm violating the decibel.
I agree. That's why I said it has
to
be validated.
We write a citation, and all of a sudden the guy is guilty, and we have no, you have a right to face your accuser, and you have no way to prove you're innocent.
Okay,
and that's what he's going.
I agree. We would have to validate it.
Okay. In other words, the normal enforcement would be they, as staff, whether it be sheriff or code enforcement, goes out there with a meter, and they are the ones that they know how to do their enforcement thing if you equip them right.
Yeah, and that's excellent. I totally agree. All right.
We don't deal with
sneaky
characters.
Thank you, gentlemen. You never have sneaky characters you have to deal with. I totally understand. All right.
You haven't dealt with me
next
yet.
One. Coffee drive-throughs. Marty. Let's try to make this a nice,
Marty.
Short one. It's 4:30. So the bottom line is, the bottom line is we over permit for coffee shacks. That's the bottom line. These are small businesses that have minimal impacts. How are we going to make it and so that we have minimal process for them to get through?
So, good question. We can do one of two things. We can take this single instance and write standards around this single instance, or as Axel and I talked to you a year ago about Mr. Olin in Dollar's Corner, what are the problems with our development standards and very small business, and we write something to capture a broader net. We have a broader net. Because if it's not a drive-through coffee shop,
It's going to be, they don't have photo mats anymore. But it's going to be some other small drive-through that's not a coffee stand, but it's going to be something like a coffee stand. Or it's going to be another rural business in a rural center with, I don't want to have to pave, I don't want to have to go through L3 landscaping, I don't want to have to go through a Type 1 or Type 2 development review process. So we can be very narrow and catch this one. It is a permitted use. It's just they have to go through site plan review and comply with the development standards. Or we cast a broader net and get a little bit more.
So years ago, we did Dolly at Dollar's Corner. Remember that one?
Dolly had the coffee stand at Dolly's
Corner. Very, very similar situation.
Dolly bought it.
I may not have been here.
Anyway.
Oh, go ahead. So, yeah, you're on the right track, and I think that's the direction we need to go.
We had the one at 72nd and 78th that was a coffee shack.
There's one in Fern Prairie.
Yeah.
We've got one on 88th,
so it's not a one-off thing.
On 72nd, just south of 119.
Right. We had an issue with that one. Remember, because there was an access issue with them, because when we were talking about the media.
Oh, yeah.
That was an access issue.
I don't know if they're...
Well, and what I'm hearing, and maybe I'll propose a better solution than just one or two, but we can write something as like our special use chapter, because we call out all kinds of special uses in our special use chapter and write some standards, just like the kennel ordinance and the winery ordinance there in the special uses chapter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can do that, but we can also look at what I would call small business site plan and development review standards.
Mr. Madone, what do you think?
Phase one is easy. Phase two is more time and investment.
Commissioner?
Yeah. I'm thinking that if you try to make this too inclusive and think of what all the kind of businesses might be out there, you blow it up and this becomes a big deal. This is, if we keep this simple, say this only has to do with coffee and espresso stands. And what is it going to exempt? It's going to exempt them from having to do traffic studies. It's going to exempt them from having to pave. But instead, you can put down gravel so that basically you're not putting down an impervious surface, which means it exempts them from stormwater construction treatment and that kind of thing, because you're not actually putting impervious surface down. It simplifies it. So it would, if we make it that simple, we can get it done.
So...
it'll still take code amendments.
That's fine. But think threshold, and we'll talk more about it. But think about the home business ordinance where we have a minor home business threshold. Like if you keep it under the threshold, and we can work on that. But if you keep it under that threshold, it makes it super simple to say, look, as long as you're not doing this, 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 and this, you're good. Go.
Well, you can just
visit cities. A bunch of Battleground, for example, has several coffee shops, drive-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to be out on asphalt.
Yeah.
But I know that.
But if it's existing asphalt, then again, you should be under the threshold. I mean, it's one of those things that you can set it. You know what I'm talking about? You keep it tight to the use, but you create a minimum threshold so that if some other wacky use came in that was similar, under a similar use determination, you could say, oh, yeah, this is the same thing, and you're under the threshold, so keep going.
You could just keep it so focused and say it has to do with coffee stands and espresso stands.
You don't. So the pushback I'll give you on that is that they're you can keep it really tight and limited, but if you specify the use on a use table and say this is for coffee and espresso stands, then you absolutely will get someone coming in the next month with a different kind of little stand that is the exact same thing that if we just would have given it just
yogurt
a little bit more. Yeah, yogurt and ice cream. If you would just give it a little bit more flexibility, but still keep it simple, that you could have already dealt with them. It's possible.
If we can do this,
I promise.
And still get it done in a timely way. So what time frame are we looking at? Because I know...
Before the next cup of coffee is made.
Got to go to the PC. So you figure you're talking about a couple months by the time it's scheduled to... I mean, we don't want to... Yeah, it's going to be a couple months.
Does it go to the Planning Commission?
Yes. Yeah, the development regulation.
It must go through the Planning Commission, whatever we do, any modifications. So I got that part. But the question is, how much homework are we going to add on top of that before we get to the Planning Commission?
Like a week or two, we'd be really ready. We'll have a solution. I mean, this is a simple one, seems like.
In between building the...
There aren't many issues.
You've done this before. This is easy.
The issues with these...
You've got to get a waiver from
the big issues with these tend to revolve around traffic if they back up out into the street.
I got a perfect so Monday. On Monday, are we meeting on the concurrency stuff, Axel? Perfect. Let's add it to the agenda of what we're going to talk about on Monday, and then just LOS. get a LOS. So let's just get a little tight solution figured out on this on Monday.
I think
we'll have the right people.
I think we should have better than an outline format by the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I can bring something back to the board at the end of the month with here's kind of what we're thinking. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, sure.
That's 3 weeks. That's a couple weeks.
That's a couple weeks.
That's 3 weeks away.
So in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Let's come back in 2 weeks.
You're not here.
And I won't be here in two weeks.
No quorum.
No, I'll be here in 2 weeks.
We're not quorum in 2 weeks. So 3 weeks. Is that okay?
I'm not here on the 28th.
He said it's okay.
Okay.
Are you not here on the 28th?
28.
What particular ordinance is this? Does this apply
to
what
does
it modify?
It'll be 45-2003-0. That's our site plan. It'll be our zoning code for the commercial area. 42.
They're permitted.
They're permitted.
Yeah, but
it's all right.
But you'll have an actual. In other words, more than one.
No, but that's. I don't think we'll have to go special use. We're just going to set it to the threshold. 42-30.
That's special.
You said you're quite amazing.
Yeah, we don't want to do
that. You don't?
No. We'll be simpler than that.
So basically, you know what references there are, and it's going to be more than one.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Okay.
So we'll bring the proposed corrections.
Threshold.
And we're doing a lot of other things in the meantime as well.
Yeah.
But so we'll add it to our agenda on Monday to at least get a good handle on that because we'll have all the transportation people and Marty in the room. You're coming in.
I will not be here for Monday.
Yeah, because concurrency and LOS is so simple.
Whatever, dude. We're 9/10 of the way there on that. All right.
Plus, well, Chris and I will work on something.
Pushing me on it.
Chris and I will work on something.
Perfect. So we'll work on it. Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. So I think that's all we need from you, Chris and Marty. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Work session prioritization, annual review and dockets, monthly property tax payments.
I got the handout for you here.
And so we have the information.
This is the first step.
So this is for us to look at and determine whether or not this is worthy of work session.
These are the Highway 99. Projects.
So we will put that in our packet, right. And we will.
The other ones are the annual review and dockets.
This is homework to do to bring back when
next week, and then we decide next board time as to whether or not these go forward with the work
session. Here's the treasurer's monthly tax payments.
The annual reviews and dockets are one of those things you kind of have to do.
And he wants to move that up to September 18th from the 25th.
Well, we will decide it next week. But that's good.
These are all the same.
These are all coming for your decision to have a work session, coming back to you in board time next week. So, yes or no. One more. I assume you want me to keep concurrency where it is.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to waive that one for this process.
Oh, because we haven't done the first step, we haven't gotten the information yet to say, should we do a work session on it?
Yes.
But
I
want to
keep it in place because otherwise I'm going to erase it. Thank you. Okay. That's all I have.
And you had something you wanted to add to this, Axel?
Well, just that Jose really wanted to ask to move the annual dockets and reviews from September 25th to September 18th. He was going to switch with the fall by.
He has nothing there.
Okay.
Yes, I'm okay. Whatever I'm doing then.
Okay. So we'll finalize it next week to make sure. But bring that back to us. It sounds like something that would make sense. But
and I have a pitch for that because Smith Roof needs a decision. By the probably 8th of October.
And that would move them up.
Got it.
I like that. It's a good pitch. I like it. All right.
That means your hearings and decisions are done by October 8th.
Sweet, man. That'd be really good. All right. Excellent. That's all we have on that. We are way... It's 4:40 right now. Anything that must occur? I don't have anything. Commissioner Medora, do you have anything that must occur today?
Let me take a quick look. Yes. Bill, in our presentation today, I see our chairman, Clean Water Commission, Stormwater, or whatever.
See you, gentlemen.
Been there for two years.
Marty. Good job.
And we changed the policy a year or two ago that we try to rotate those people on an annual basis.
I don't know of such a
policy. Can you look into that?
Sure.
Yeah, we changed it.
Talked to Earl and
it came up. It came up when
we talked about it when Art Stubbs was the chair for a bunch of years.
So we said 12 years, and then decided not to move and said, "Hey, you got to rotate this around." They're all on the board.
Agreed.
So can you check in with Earl and those guys to see if we made that formal and if we haven't? It's a good idea.
I thought we
keep
did.
Things fresh.
Yeah, I thought we did about all of them. Panhandling. Anything new on?
Yeah, working with Sergeant Walker at the Sheriff's Office. So I threw it over to him because they are already researching it and working on it, so I don't want to duplicate.
Okay.
So we're trying to get back together now for a work session on where we're going to go with it.
You didn't get the email from Garth Beeter?
I don't think so.
Is that the guy we met with?
No, Rick is the guy we met with.
Oh, so this is another gentleman. This one is on Mill Plain in Choctaw.
That city? Yep.
We'll discuss newspapers later. We covered a lot of this.
Just quickly, Commissioner, you asked about the road vacation last week. Mm-hmm. That's been taken care of. You remember that? I think she was a psychiatrist.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was actually in the city of Vancouver, so it's
just
for sure. Okay. Anything else?
Then we have
covered some ground.
Covered some ground, yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Did you say thank you? Do you have anything else, Bill?
No, sir.
Kelly, do you have anything? Axel, do you have anything?
I do, but I can do them next week. I'm appointed to the Hoof Rod Advisory Committee.
Good for you. Congratulations, Axel.
The rest of this stuff.
Should we put out a press release?
One for the rest.
Mary, get a
Hoof Rod. Hoof Rod. Axel Hoof Rod. Yeah. Actually, and we joke about it, but thank you for doing that because that's obviously
that's
a big issue, and you know a fair amount about being a
hoof rod.
So, and it matters.
Later, we're going to talk you about BPA next week.
Okay.
With a recommendation. And I've got some not good news on the quiet zone. We went out in the field for construction, but I'm going to circle around with Schulte and talk to you guys about that next week. It'll take a little bit longer, so.
Okay. We'll make sure we make time. Let's make sure we put it on the agenda for next
construction
week.
Constraints. So.
Okay. Anything else? No.
Cole EIS is good news. They're gonna scope the transportation effects down here. So.
We had asked them to look at the transmission impacts, like, because our citizens said, well, what about while the trains are going by? What about the impact to us? And they said they are going to include that in the scope of the analysis, which is good.
You saw my email. I took care of the black helicopters.
I haven't got that yet.
Dude, what did happen with that? I saw the emails.
It was interesting for me. I learned something new. I got a hold of the right person at Joint Base.
We're talking about black helicopters.
That he handles all the complaints for aviation, specifically military helicopters in the state, and so he was the right person to call. He kind of walked me through how it all works, how you can make a complaint, and what to look for, and he got all into the details. So anyways, I hooked these people up with him, so hopefully they call him and can describe the aircraft a little bit. He needs more details.
Black.
He said if
they
it's
were black,
got,
and it was at midnight.
Yeah, he said if it's got the.
Well, then in the middle of the day, didn't they say they started seeing them in the middle of the day too?
Daytime and midnight.
So he it was interesting because he said that with the cutbacks in the military, Washington's getting a ton more helicopter units put at Fort Lewis, so they're coming from around the country. So there's a lot more helicopter training happening in our state than before. Like he said, like 40 or 60 more helicopters flying around. Training here, so that's what's going on. But.
Interesting. All right. So, thank you, Black Helicopters.
Yeah, the maneuver was strange.
In the first email we got was Black Helicopters circling at midnight.
There's a special ops team assigned to Washington, and they're from Kentucky, though, so we actually asked to coordinate with the command in Kentucky to find out what they're doing.
That's government.
They do what they do.
Well, thank you very much for connecting
them.
Mary, you had one thing.
Yes. Could I please get the names, residency, and profession of the people who are going to write for and against the ballot measures as soon as that's available?
By 5 p.m. tomorrow. That's additional information. So you want the names, and what else did you want?
Names, where they live, and if possible,
we got address.
What their occupation or profession is.
Occupation. Why?
Well, I would think you would get that from the elections office. You would have it to them.
They won't have the occupations, the only piece that they didn't ask for, because they asked for name, address, phone number, email. So the one additional thing that Mary's asking for is occupation.
It's a little bit of an identifier, you know. My friend here is not
the disclaimer.
Okay.
A disclaimer. Exactly.
That's what it is.
You know,
county commissioner.
Accountant, teacher, farmer.
Enough.
Union organizer.
Exactly. All right. Perfect. We're on it. Okay. So we'll add that one piece of information. We got our work to do, and that's it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. We got work for today. I got work for next week.
Do you have anything?
No. Gosh.
Good.
No.
Yeah, man, all right. We're done then.
Yeah. We're done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Work time is over.
Too late.